Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Good morning, everybody. We're here this morning to pay tribute to the life of an incredible woman, Pauline Campbell. She was born Tuesday, January the 27th, 1931, and she went home to be with the Lord and Roger and Graham on Sunday, November the 12th, 2017. Let's pray together. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, here we all are, and one of the greats in our lives has been gathered to you, and we're heartbroken about it. Lord, thank you for Pauline, for the incredible mother, wife, grandmother, great-grandmother, friend, sister that she has been in this world. We're grateful that she's not suffering any longer. We thank you for her bravery. We thank you for these incredible kids that have taken such wonderful care of her up to this moment. We've come here, Lord, to remember Pauline and to give her back to you today. Thank you for loaning her to us. Our lives will never be the same because of it. We ask for your blessing as we all gather together like this and for your help with our broken hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin, Cheryl's going to come and sing a song for us. And come right ahead.
Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast unmeasured, boundless free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness. Over me, underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward, to the rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, spread his praise from shore to shore, how he loveth ever loveth, changeth never, nevermore. How he watches o'er his loved ones, died to call them all his own. How for them he intercedeth, watches o'er them from the throne. The deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love, the best. 'Tis an ocean vast of blessing, 'tis a haven giving rest. deep, deep love of Jesus. 'Tis a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory. For it lifts me up to thee, and it lifts me up to glory. For it lifts me up to
absolutely incredible. You think singing is difficult in public? Try it a cappella. Wow, beautiful, Cheryl. You know, whenever you sing, your mom sat right back here just beaming. She loved it, and we all did. Wow. Let me read to you, first of all, what was written about Pauline in the newspaper. Pauline Campbell, age 86, on Sunday, November the 12th, 2017, was sung into the presence of her Lord Jesus Christ by her four adult children and two dear friends. Her reunion there with her husband Roger was one that she had longed for and spoken of often since his home going in January 2015. Pauline Block was born on Tuesday, January the 27th, 1931, in Grand Ledge, Michigan. She graduated from Goebbels High School in 1948 in a graduating class of 11. That same year, Pauline met Roger Campbell, who 2 years later was to quietly coax her from her family's farmhouse early in the morning by tossing pebbles against her upstairs bedroom window. Any of you guys remember the story? She said, she opened her window and said, "What?" And he said, "You want to marry me this Saturday?" And she said, "I'll be right down." That's a true story. And when she came out onto the porch, Roger asked Pauline to marry him. And one week, did you hear that? 1 week later, on July 15th, 1950, they became husband and wife. When in 1958, Roger entered the full-time pastorate, Pauline became the consummate pastor's wife. A difficult and too often unappreciated calling. And from that time, through three congregations at East Arlington Baptist Church in Lawrence, Calvary Bible Church in Benton Harbor, and Waterford Community Church, until Roger left the pastorate to found Roger Campbell Ministries in the late 70s. Pauline was truly the wind beneath his wings, again working behind the scenes in whatever she could do. Pauline was known as a devoted prayer warrior. Each year after Christmas, she would compile all the Christmas cards received, and throughout the next year, their senders would be added to her daily prayers. Pauline's loving concern for people extended far beyond her family and community. After the death of her dear grandson, Graham, in 2006, Pauline felt led of the Lord to channel her profound grief, and that's exactly what it was, into something meaningful around the world and into eternity. So over the next several years, 8 wells were dug in areas that had no regular source of potable water. At each, a plaque reads, "In loving memory of Graham Martin Campbell, Jesus said, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.'" By having these wells dug, infant mortality was greatly reduced, as were other deaths from waterborne bacteria. Pauline is survived by her four children, David and Sharon Campbell, Cheryl Powell, Timothy and Kathy Campbell, Charlene and Laura Martin. Her nine grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, and her brother, Dr. Martin Block. God bless her. I want to read to you also, if I could, Psalm 91, Pauline's favorite portion of the Bible. Let me read that for you, too. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall by your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because she loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue her. I will protect her, for she acknowledges my name. She will call upon me, and I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver her and honor her. With long life, I will satisfy her. I will show her my salvation. Psalm 91. Beautiful psalm. And now we're going to listen. We have a couple of CDs, songs on CD we're going to listen to. The first is by the Campbell Quartet. They're going to sing a wonderful old song, Be Still My Soul, if we would play that. Thank you.
Be still my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change
That was recorded at one of the old spring sings. Those were fun. They were a good time. And it's not fair that that much talent resides in one family. They should be, you know, sharing that with some of us that can't do anything. I have some other things I want to read to you that are just things that the grandchildren wrote about Grandma. Let me begin with Shannon. She says, "I remember playing Tiddlywinks Bingo. My favorite thing to do at Grandma's house as a child, by far." And of course, Shannon has this sweet little one-year-old, Emma. And she writes, "Today, Emma's Gigi went home to be with the Lord. I am forever grateful that I was blessed with such an amazing woman as a grandmother. She was beautiful, kind, God-loving, and full of spunk." I am, and that's true. By the way, the spunk part, I just love that about her. "I am so beyond thankful that she got to know Emma over the last year. Although my heart is currently aching, I find comfort in knowing that she was ready to go home and reunite with my grandfather and my brother. We love you, Gigi, and we will cherish the 34 plus years of memories I have with you." Michael wrote, "Today my grandma Pauline went to join my grandpa Roger. Pauline Campbell was a loving, feisty, there it is again, sweet, funny, godly, and beautiful woman. I loved being around her when I was a kid, talking and playing Nintendo games. I sure didn't know any other grandmas back then who'd have their grandsons over for an all-night video game party. And I loved being around her as I grew up, too. She told great stories about when she was younger and working and about her and Grandpa's courtship, seeing how long they could kiss in the backseat on a road trip, on a dare, is one of my favorites, and about their life together. Grandpa and Grandma set the standard for what a loving, faithful marriage should be." I'm going to say that again because it's true. "Grandma and Grandpa set the standard for what a loving and faithful marriage should be." You've had it lived out before your very eyes. Nothing more powerful than that. "When we were kids, she'd call us over and look deep into our eyes and tell us whether or not we had class. It was very important to me that she said I did. She was one of the classiest people I have ever known. I love you, and I will miss you, Grandma." Heather, she wrote, "Every year at Christmas, my grandmother would take me aside and slip me a box of Russell Stover chocolates. In later years, they would turn into Ghirardelli chocolates. She would then tell me, 'Don't let your cousins know you have these. They didn't get any.'" I guess you know now. The cat is out of the bag on that. Shiloh wrote, "When I was a child, I cherished the times I would go to Grandma's house without my brothers. On those occasions, Grandma and I would sit in her room, and I can remember that I loved to sit in her red chair that always sat on the right side of her bed, and we would have what I called our Shirley Temple day. We would just watch one Shirley Temple movie after another. I loved those days. I now own almost every Shirley Temple movie ever made. She was one of the most kind, caring, loving people you would ever meet, and protective over the ones that she loved. I spent many days with Grammy, and these memories I will hold dear and cherish forever." Sam wrote. My favorite memory of you, Grandma, must be playing Mario Brothers and Tetris. You even beat Mario before us. You would give tips to Mike and me when we got stuck, so thanks for that. Another memory was a long walks on the beach. Picture this. Grandma barefoot and Grandpa with his shoes on. That's Raj, hand in hand. Now listen to what he said. I didn't realize it then, but that image is what comes into my mind when people talk of true love. It's true, Sam, beautiful. Jeremiah. Grandma, need I say more, old woman? Jeremiah's favorite name for his grandma since he was 3 years old, and he was the only one allowed to call her that with a grin on his face. When I was little, Grandma had me, get this, oh, I love this. When I was little, Grandma had me flush my bad attitude down the toilet. Get over here. We're flushing that down the toilet. I love that. We watched Oliver Twist over and over again. Grandma always played and beat me at Mario. And just the other day, I told my mom that I always feel better after talking to Grandma. She has a way of making me laugh. Caleb. One of my favorite things I remember most about you, Grandma, is that you always beat me at Nintendo. What is she, like the pinball wizard here? What is this? They wrote a song about her, didn't they? How many kids can say, get this, how many kids can say that their grandma was the champion? I always remember looking forward to your cooking, especially your pasta salad, which I always got the leftovers of. Garrett, I learned so much from my grandmother. I learned how to appreciate horrible puns. Boy, that's true. Oh, the cornier, the better for her. She just loved those. The family history of our name and my love for trees. I learned what a truly loving marriage looks like. And I learned the proper name for chipmunks, chippies. And Graham wrote something about her in 1991. He wrote, I got a grandma. Her name is Pauline. She's the best grandma I ever seen. She's so cool. She really is neat. But the best thing about her is she really is sweet. She can play Nintendo. Yeah, she's a pro. She plays better than anyone I know. Word. You know, that whole thing. I remember. Now, I really practiced that. I want you to know. Oh, wonderful stuff, kids. That's just beautiful. Oh. Tim's going to come. He has a reading for us now, Timmy. By the way, if you guys have not picked up and read this latest book by Roger Campbell, and I just love the title, Wherever You Go, There's a Zacchaeus Up a Tree. And it's so true, Timmy.
Wherever you go, there's a Zacchaeus up a tree. I'll just read the last paragraph of the introduction. Anybody who knew Dad would get this. Roger Campbell's great passion was what he called his adventures in sharing my faith. Many were the times he was heard urging others to join the adventure, saying, whether at the post office or the bank, a restaurant, or the supermarket checkout lane, everywhere you go, there's a woman at the well and a Zacchaeus up a tree. That's what the publisher decided to call the book, and I've been told not to argue with the publishers that they usually have better sense about naming books. Good. You know, Kathy and I were talking not long ago about, you know, the nature of prayer and why it is sometimes we think our prayers aren't answered. And it's amazing, and since we had that conversation a few days ago while we were taking a walk, how many times it's come up in our respective readings, you know, these kinds of things from Matthew and Luke, you know, and how a good father gives good gifts to his children, and how the Father knows better than we do what's good for us. But I'll tell you this, that over the last, really about a year after Dad passed, this project began. And what a wonderful project to collaborate with Dad in the process of putting together, compiling kind of the best of Roger Campbell's newspaper columns, which still go out to over 100 newspapers around the United States and Canada. As though he were sitting right next to me, there were many times when I just said, gee, Dad, you're good. Yeah. You know, it was just, you know, it was just amazing. And among them, you know, when the publisher wanted me to actually edit them down to about half of their word count, I said, okay, I think I could do that. And yet there were some, a dozen or so, that were just too good. And I told the publisher it would be wrong, it would be criminal, right, to edit these down, because they are from beginning to end just the essence of Roger Campbell. And so they said, okay. And my suggestion was that they intersperse these throughout the book. And they did that. And the first one, I believe, is on page 20 and 21. It's called What I Discovered About My Wife. All through the book. The book is dedicated to Mom and Kathy and Shannon and Emma, four wonderful women in my family, in my life. What I've discovered about my wife. Smack in the middle of the 20th century, it was not uncommon for newlyweds to be 19. Allow me, if you will, to take you on a walk with me down memory lane to the house of my bride-to-be way back in 1950. Standing in the driveway at her parents' home, I chose a few small stones and tossed them gently against her upstairs bedroom window. Want to get married next Saturday? I called when she peered sleepily down on me. I'll be right down, she answered, now sounding wide awake. What a week that was. We contacted our minister, reserved the church, sent out invitations, and the following Saturday had a church full of guests at our wedding and reception. This church wedding in a week should have tipped me off to the adventurous nature of the beautiful young woman I was marrying. But I still had a lot to learn about her. Half a century and more later, I'm still making discoveries. I've discovered my wife as a woman of great faith. Each morning finds Pauline alone with her Bible, reading and praying. She's continually translating the concepts of faith she's been absorbing into her daily life. And this has enabled her to courageously make decisions that some would think too risky. When the time came for me to leave my job in sales and accept a small church at one-third the salary, Pauline was ready to trust that God would provide for us. This meant moving from our new home to an old rented farmhouse, but to her this was just part of the adventure she had signed up for on the day we exchanged our vows, promising to build our marriage on love for each other and faith in God. I've also discovered my wife can be trusted to do what she believes is best for our family. The writer of Proverbs says the husband of a virtuous woman can safely trust in her, adding, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. It's Proverbs 31:12. And I've discovered that in making important family decisions, she is usually right. This has been the case so many times that I've often found myself saying, you're right again. Why does this surprise me? It's a heavy burden to bear. She sighs. And another proverb comes to mind. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. It's verse 26. I've discovered my wife has an eye for beauty, and she did. Flowers, landscapes, paintings, and color combinations were nice to notice, but not all that important to me. Pauline has opened my eyes to the beauty around us and continually adds her special touch to it. After all these years with my bride, I've learned that a woman's beauty deepens with time. So one day I told her in the following lines. When you stand before a mirror tracing time's art, look closely and you will see the beauty that binds you to my heart. And he closes with the scripture, Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obvious favor. I'm sorry, and obtains favor. It is obvious favor.
Yeah, it is
obvious. Right. With the Lord.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you. You should applaud again.
That was an incredible effort to edit and produce that book. You guys, I'm so proud of you. And I've got all the others. I've got all Preach for a Year for like 25 years up there in my shelves at Roger. But wasn't it 25 years? It kept coming. Oh, all right. Well, I believe at this time we are... We're going to listen to Roger sing. God, I miss his voice. Let's listen to Roger sing one song, He Giveth More Grace.
more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed and the battles have won, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving has has no measure, and his power has no boundaries, known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, oh, he giveth and giveth. And giveth again.
So sweet. In fact, we bought this pulpit with Roger in mind. Do you know that? Because this rises and lowers. And Roger wasn't, we really did. I remember when we were picking that out at an old antique shop that I said, wait a minute, Roger, that'd be perfect. Bless him. Hey, kids, I know this is the strangest day of your life when you have somebody like this that loves you and cherished you and to have them leave. You know, I was about some of your ages 50 some years ago when my grandpa died. And I remember going to this little goofy southern church and a strange group of people, kind of like here today. But I remembered something. It was like at that moment that I realized that something was really wrong with the world. And for the first time, I heard somebody tell me the only way that this broken world and my own heart could be dealt with. And I started a journey then. Yeah, I know, I want you to know, this might seem like the end of something. I think for you all, it is a tremendous beginning. Grandma took you as far as she could. So God bless you as you start this journey with Grandma in heaven. I want to say just a couple of things about Pauline and about her life. And it's pretty simple, but these are my observations. Her life was beautiful. She made the life of her family beautiful. She added so much. Roger was a man of vision and direction, and you couldn't take him off that. But Pauline was the one who noticed everything around you and did her best to make everything beautiful. She noticed the beauty of it all. Of course, her love for Roger, I cannot tell you how many times I watched your grandpa eat a fish sandwich and eat broccoli, cream of broccoli soup at Big Boy and drink decaf coffee and give tracts out to the people that work there, you know, little things telling them about Jesus, and talk about his love for Pauline. I mean, those things just started flooding back. Her care for him, her watching over him, hovering over him as he went about this great work. This week, I spent some time with a woman by the name of Jill Briscoe. You might have heard of her name, she and her husband, Stuart. When I was around Jill this week, I kept saying, she reminds me of somebody. She reminded me of Pauline. There is this group of women that I revere. Of course, my wife, Debbie, who puts up with all of this. But then also, I think of Mrs. Briscoe, that does everything to make this happen for her and Stuart. I think of Mrs. Graham, Ruth Graham, and everything that she did to raise those children and keep her husband on track. An incredible lady. Another would be Edith Schaefer, Francis Schaefer's wife. These women had this grit to them, this love for beauty, and this common sense and being straightforward, you know? And that's what Pauline was. That is beautiful to me. No game playing. You know, you can start playing politics with people. She never did that. She just told you what she really thought. And sometimes that was fun and sometimes that wasn't. That house was a peaceful, peaceful place. I love being there. Last time I was there was just before she went in for surgery, and Debbie and I were gone for 5 weeks suffering for Jesus in Myrtle Beach. And we came home because of a medical thing that I had, and Debbie said, you got to go see Pauline. And it was wonderful to see her there in that place. It was beautiful. And it was beautiful to be loved by her. Now, there are three guys that can tell that story pretty well. Kurt Motzinger, Terry Walker, and Tom Hampton have all been said by Pauline and Roger Campbell that we were their pastors. But in all reality, it was the other way around. In the midst of a very ugly time of my life, I was on staff at a church that went through a terrible bloodbath. It was awful. Christian people acting like pagans. It was awful. And because the pastoral staff had resigned, they asked me to take over an adult Bible study, and Roger and Pauline came as interim pastor at this place. And my life was pretty broken at that time, and I'm teaching this Bible class, first time I had taught adults. And she sat in my class, and it was almost every week she wrote me a note telling me how much she had gotten from the Bible study. Or she would hug me and tell me how much it meant. She didn't have to do that. But it built me. And that is beautiful. Hey, kids, her life was beautiful. We all wish it would be more than 86 years. But her life was beautiful. Something else. Her life was real. You got to understand something about your grandpa and grandma. They literally believed that historically Jesus had come to earth and died for our sins and been resurrected from the dead. She really believed that. It wasn't just something that she picked up along the way or something that that she did because someone else believed it. She believed it for herself, as Grandpa did. She believed that it was true. And then this real life was practical, in that she took what she believed and incorporated it into her life. Her incredible prayer life. Praying for all of us all the time. Only eternity will tell us what was accomplished. Roger told me one day he thinks we'll all be feeding Pauline watermelon in heaven. Because she was such a great lady. And it's true. She was real. Kids, I want to say something to you. Do you know you're not a Christian because your grandpa and grandma or your mom and dad are? The only reason that Pauline and Roger Campbell were Christians was because they had come to a personal belief that Jesus was a historical person who came here and took on this world that's broken. You see how broken the world is today. Grandma left us. Death came into the world through the brokenness. And it's an awful thing. They believe that Jesus came here to die for this. He was the only one, being God and man, who could die for the sins of the entire human race. And he did that. They believe that. And they made it their own by personally trusting in Jesus. So I'm going to tell you something. You don't inherit this. Just because your family is Christian doesn't mean that you are. Just because they are. This is a road you have to walk alone. It's very important that you understand this. And I'm sure that Grandpa and Grandma would want me to tell you this. Believe in Jesus for you. It's historically true. And Grandma and Grandpa lived it out for all those zillion years, and they found out that it was absolutely practically true. Your grandma would get alone and ask God for something specific that she would tell nobody else about, and it would happen within hours or days of her asking for it. God answered her all the time. Why? Because it's real, and her life was real. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Do you see that? We're all a whoever. And he invites us all to trust him. Grandpa and grandma can point you in that direction, but they can't take you there. So this is yours. I want you to know that. God bless you as you guys begin your search and walk through all of this. Grandma was beautiful. She was real. And her life is lasting. What I mean is this. Well, two things by her life is lasting. Jesus promised that there would be life beyond this grave. Beyond this death. Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me." The Bible says to be absent from the body, to be away from the body, is to be at home with the Lord. The Lord has made these incredible promises. Whoever believes will not perish. You hear that? It's heaven forever. And then, what's going to be accomplished from what they did on earth is still going on. Who knows what will happen with those articles, with those stories? Who knows what will happen from their kindness? Cheryl was telling me she and Mom were in the cemetery. And of course, that's a hallowed place there at Old Lakeview. And Pauline noticed a little woman down the hill who was weeping. And it's not like her. But she walked down that hill and hugged that woman and found out that she had a 12-year-old who had died. And she didn't know what to do. And Pauline said, "Can I pray for you?" How many times will there be incredible works of God from Roger handing some little person? I saw him in Kroger all the time. Little hat, little tweed jacket, right, Roger? And this pocket full of these gospel tracts here. It's something to brighten your day. You know, who knows what's going to become of all of that? Only heaven will tell. So I was at the Graham Training Center this week in Montreat near Asheville, North Carolina. And Pastor Gall and I are standing in a line waiting for the dining hall to open between sessions. And there's two couples standing in front of us. And they turn around and they see our tags, Michigan. Oh, Michiganders, so good to see Michiganders down here. All we see is Ohio people and Georgia people and everybody. We haven't seen any Michiganders. Where are you guys at? And we told them we were in Clarkston. Oh, great. I said, you guys are Michiganders. They said, yeah. I said, where are you from? They said, Benton Harbor. I said, do you know Pauline and Roger Campbell? And physically, there was this movement. And this one guy, let me give you his name. His name was Renee Marks. He said, "Roger Campbell was my pastor when I was a little boy." And then the other man hugged me, said, "My name's Roy Jeffrey. I pastored Calvary Bible Church in Benton Harbor. Roger was my mentor." And I told him, "Pauline's funeral is going to be Friday." And they openly wept. And they told me that their lives had never been the same, having been touched. I mean, this just goes on and on and on through generations. The Lord has promised life to all who believe in him. And he has promised, blessed are those who die in the Lord. They rest from their work and their works go before them. It's true of Pauline Campbell. You guys, preachers talk way too long, don't they? I'm done. I'm not going to say anything more. Other than we loved her, and it was a privilege. It's been a privilege for me to know Pauline, to be loved by her, and to be able to be the one that says the words over them. And it was an honor to be able to officiate when Graham passed. I want you to know how much the Campbell family means to me, how much you all have affected me in my life, and I'm so grateful for the privilege of knowing you all. I'm going to sing a song for you all, and then we're going to sing a great old hymn, number 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Then we're going to have a prayer, and then we're all going to be walking by the casket, giving our final respects, and then we'll be going to Lakeview Cemetery. After that, we're coming back here for a luncheon at the church downstairs here. We want you all to come back and enjoy yourselves and spend the day. So God bless you all. It's one of Pauline's favorites. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, give me Jesus. When I am alone, yeah, when I am alone, yes, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, yeah, when I come to die, yes, and when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, you can have all this world, you can have all this world, give me Jesus. Let's stand together, shall we? And we're going to open our hymnals to number 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And let's just sing that, shall we? Together. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great
great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love.
Come on, sing it out.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Last verse. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to hear and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000.
Last chance, come on, let's sing it.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, good Lord, unto me.
Boy, we messed that up, but we tried our best, didn't we? Let's pray together, shall we? Pray with me, please. So, Lord Jesus, we give her to you. You loaned her. We are so grateful for the years. But, Lord, for this family, I ask for your deepest blessing. And what I ask, Lord, is that all of these that have come from Roger and Pauline would know you. And by knowing you, be able to spend eternity with you and with one another. For the scripture says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we will know as we are known. Father, a union that's got to be going over there has got to be unbelievable in that party. Pauline's got to have people gathered all around her with Roger at her side telling the stories. Bless them. Father, thank you for their peace and their blessing at home with you today. But we need your peace and blessing here too. Father, may heaven spill over to this family. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. You may be seated. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.